George was talking, and thought I saw him at Bible school, and I thought, you know, I really shouldn't even tell him I'm trying to stop here, but I did, and this is the result of it. So you either get to or have to listen to me this morning. It's good to be here with you again. It's been a little while since we were here. Turn with me to the first chapter of 1 John. We're going to read this chapter, and then I will introduce the subject that I'm planning to talk about. So 1 John 1, let's read it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The thought that I had in the message is the thought of connections, and we see that thought in here, fellowship with the Father, fellowship with each other. That is the thought of connections, connection to God, connection to our fellow men. And something that's been on my mind in the last number of years, as I think about, I met Lisa about 20 years ago, a little more maybe, had not ever known her before, and that's my wife, by the way. We got married in May of 2000, and with that relationship, there's been a whole host of connections with different people. Connections that, had this relationship not happened, that I would never have known a lot of people, these people existed. There's been a lot of good connection in that. There's been a lot that have brought joy and blessing to my life. There's been some that have brought disappointment and questions. But they are connections. And through these connections are people that I have influenced or that have influenced me. Turn with me to 1 Timothy, and let's see what Paul tells Timothy how to relate with his connections. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. When I preached this last Sunday at home, while I was sitting there in the Sunday school lesson thinking about the message and also trying to pay attention to the Sunday school, I thought, you know, there is a lot more to this connections thing, and I would like to preach a sequel message sometime. Today's message is probably going to be focused more on connecting with God and our connection there more than on connections with people. But, and I think that's the way it should be. Our connection with God needs to come first before, and that will affect our connection with people, and whether it is a positive connection or a negative one. But 1 Timothy 4, Paul tells Timothy some things about connections, verses 12 to 16. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Paul tells Timothy here to use his connections with people in an upbuilding way. Show people what you believe. Be an example of what you believe, in what you say, in the words you use. In word, he says, and in how you live, show people, be an example in how you live, in your conversation, in your showing of love, in your charity, your mental disposition, or how you react to things, your spirit. Be an example of the of what God has done in your life. Make your connections a positive thing. In your chastity and clean living, in purity. And do things. Verse 13, he talks about giving attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do things that will be helpful in making your connections upbuilding. Gain a knowledge of God's word and will by reading. Give attendance to reading. Use that knowledge then to urge others, to exhort them, to urge others to show by their lives, what they believe, exhortation, and give yourselves to the teachings in the Word, that their profiting may appear to all. In all your connections, may it be evident that you are wholly committed to the things of God. And then verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. He tells him that his connections will be far-reaching, will save himself and those that hear him will be saved because he's taking heed to the doctrine. Okay, that's about as much as we're going to probably talk about connections to people. The rest is connection to God. And there's a saying in the business world, I'm sure you've all heard it. It goes like this: it's not what you know, it's who you know. And we use this term when there's something that needs to be done, and you know what it is you need done, and you know how you want it done, and you know the procedure. You think you know the people that to talk to, and you do it, and you follow all those things, but nothing happens. And nobody that you try is helpful. And finally someone comes along and he says, hey, I know this certain person. Let me call them, or here's their number. You call them and see if they can help. And suddenly you do that, and suddenly everything falls into place and things get done. See, you knew a lot about it. You knew what needed done. You knew what you needed. But until you connected with the right person, it really did you no good. So it's not what you know, it's who you know. And let's turn back to the book of 1 John. And I'm going to read the first 14 verses of chapter 2 of 1 John. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not. Oh, we're going to stop there. But back to this thought of it's not what you know, it's who you know. See, we can know all about God. We can know about his word. We can read it. And we can even know about his preparation for the salvation of our souls. We can know all that, all those things. But unless we know him, we are none the better for it. And how do we know that we know him? And we're further down the message, we're going to talk a little more about how to connect with God. But how do we know that we know him? Verse 3 says, if we keep his commandments. And what did Jesus say were the two commandments that all the others hang off of? I think you know them. Most of them would know what I'm talking about right away when I say that. And it's to love God with all your being and love your neighbor at least as much as you love yourself. And so your connection with God is revealed by how much you love your fellow men. And verse 13 and 14 talk about fathers that know him, have known him that is from the beginning, and children having known the Father, and young men being strong and overcoming the wicked one, and having the word of God abiding in them. And all these things speak of knowing God. And so it's not what you know, it's not all the things you know about God, but it's having God and having that connection with God and really knowing God that will make the difference in our lives. Third point is God is constant and wants to connect with us, but do we connect with him? Most of you are familiar with cold weather. It's cold here, I understand, for this part of the country. It's cold here this morning. But it's not as cold as what it probably was where some of you came from. It's not as cold as I believe it is this morning where I'm from. But when it's cold, things don't work as good as when it's warm. And so we have this thing in our vehicles that we call a block heater. And you plug this thing in to an outlet on the wall. And we're familiar with that. And they're there so the engine will start on cold days. Now, the new vehicles aren't as fussy. They start pretty good without them. Even the new diesels do. But back years ago, when I was younger, I was going to say young, but younger, you on a cold night, you had to make sure that that block heater was plugged in. And I can remember, not so much in my own experience, but it happening to my dad, where he would have his truck plugged in and think all was good. And he'd go out there in the morning, and that truck would not start. Someplace there was a connection that had been lost. There was a breaker that was tripped, a wire broken, or a plug-in that didn't make connections. See, there was power to a certain point. There was power at least to the outlet or at least to the breaker, but it could go no further because that connection was broken. It was there, ready and available, but it couldn't get to where it was needed and useful. And so it is with God. He is there, ready and waiting for that connection with us. That broken wire, that trip breaker, that bad plug-in in our spiritual lives, or whatever it is, keeping us from connecting with Him, that is actually a small thing for Him to repair. He is just waiting there to seek to be connected, for us to be connected with Him again. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah here was talking to the Jews that were captives. But I think he was also talking to us. I think this promise in here is a beautiful one for God's people throughout the ages. It is not just for the captive Jews. Chapter 29, verses 11 to 14. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." I see God here just waiting for his people to turn and to seek him. But I also see him looking for people, looking for souls that are in earnest about it, that are serious about searching him. He says, "When ye shall search for me with all your heart." What does that word "all" mean to us? All is not half. All is not three quarter. All is not even 99%. All is 100%. "When you search for me with all your heart." He is seeking for people. He is looking for people that are in earnest about being connected with him. And in verse 14 he says, "If that is the case," he said, "I will be found of you." Beautiful promise. I'm waiting. I'm there. I'm constant. And I want to restore that connection. I want to return that breaker. I want to repair that broken wire. Whatever it might be, God says, "I'm waiting. I want to." He is there. He's constant. Now, when you plug a vehicle in, there's a number of different ways that you can check, that you can kind of know, kind of subtle ways, some of them, that this connection is made. And one is hearing. When you plug that in and you listen, and it starts giving a little hiss, and you hear, okay, it's working. There's power flowing. Another one is seeing. And this is one that that my dad taught me years ago. And so you take that plug in, you plug it in, and then you unplug it real quick. And if there's a little spark that happens when you unplug it, you know that power has been flowing. If there's no spark, then and it's sometimes a little hard to see, a little hard to do. But if there's no spark, there's no power. If there is, there is. Another way to know is after an hour or so, you go and touch the engine where you know it should be warming, and you, if it's a little warm, you know that it's working. And there are ways to tell if people are connected with God. If that spark is there, that spark of that connection with God, if that is there, you know there's a connection. And if you listen to them and you hear their words and you watch their lives, you can tell if there's that connection there with God. And if they have that warm, thinking the word aura, I'm not sure if that's quite the right word, but if there's a warmth of God flowing forth from them, you can tell there's a connection. So may we be connected with him, and if there's a connection broken, may it be restored. There's another thing with electricity, and that is a thought of polarity. And polarity is not a big deal in AC current, but it certainly is in DC. And that's also another thing we often experience when it's cold out, is that you need to boost a vehicle. You need to hook a jumper cables to it. But you need to make sure that you have your polarity right. Hook the positive to the positive, negative to the negative. And they're usually color-coded. Negative is black and positive is red. And if you hook them up right, you get a proper connection and current flows, and you can start that vehicle. But if you get it wrong, there will be sparks and possibly explosions. I've never experienced it where a battery actually exploded, but I've heard of it. And that is a possibility. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 6. Verses 14 to 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Just like negative and positive in electricity are not compatible, so righteousness and unrighteousness, and light and darkness, and Christ and Belial, and the believer and the infidel are not compatible. They're opposites. They're opposites from opposite kingdoms or from different kingdoms. And when they meet, there is often sparks. And there can be explosions. And Jesus talked about that. He said, I came not to send peace, but a sword. You see, it's the two kingdoms, opposite kingdoms, that are not compatible. And there will be sparks. But when there is no longer sparks, you take two batteries that are dead, you can hook them up whichever way you want, and there will be nothing. There will be no sparks. When there is no incompatibility anymore, or no reaction between righteousness and unrighteousness, then there is death somewhere. When there is life, there will be sparks. There will be reaction between righteousness and unrighteousness, between Christ and Belial, light and darkness, and the believer and the infidel. And so we need that connection with God to keep that life in us, so that there will be reaction between righteousness and unrighteousness. God has laws in place for us to be connected with Him. And I've been working this winter with something kind of new. I've been trying to learn wiring and programming a control module. I'm still working on it, and I had the wiring all hooked up at one point, thinking I knew what I was doing, thinking I had it right, but it didn't work. And as I looked into it further and thought about it and researched it, found out I had the wiring hooked up all wrong. And that's why it didn't work. You see, there's laws when they design this thing. There's laws as to how this should work and how this needs to be all connected for it to work. And when you contravene those laws, it just simply doesn't work. And God has laws for us to connect with Him and to stay connected with Him. And I want to look at, I think I have five of those here, laws that God sets out for us to connect with Him. And the first one is, I must recognize that I'm a sinner. And we read these verses already in 1 John 1, but we'll read them again. 1 John 1, 8 to 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. See, if we don't admit that we're a sinner, first of all, we deceive ourselves. We know that. God has placed that in our inner beings, that we are sinners. He's given us a conscience. He's given us other people. He's given us all kinds of words, ways for us to realize that we are sinners. And when we don't admit it, we deceive ourselves, we are deceived, and we also make Him a liar. He has said many places we could turn to in Scripture where He says that all men have sinned and all are fallen before Him. And when we do not admit that we are sinners, we make Him a liar. And God cannot lie. And so we must admit that we are sinners before Him. And so to connect with God, we must first of all recognize and admit that we are sinners. Number two, we must be broken. Matthew 21:42, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. See, my will must be broken, and His will must become mine. As long as self is on the throne, on the throne of my heart, I cannot connect with God. But when I am broken, then God is there to receive me. And so one of God's laws for connecting with him is that we must be broken. We must die to ourselves. We must die. Self must be crucified with him. The third one is we must repent. And we talked about that a little bit in the adult Sunday school. And we know that John the Baptist preached repentance. And I think it was probably kind of the same incident in Mark that we looked at this morning in Matthew 4:17. It says that Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent ye." It's one of the first things that Jesus, first sermons he preached were repent. And the apostles preached repentance in Acts 2:38. Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." And so what is repentance? It is turning from sin and turning to God. And it is a sorrow for sin. And someone has said it this way, repentance is seeing ourselves as God sees us. And so we must repent as one of God's laws for connecting with him. And we must continue in penitence in order to maintain that connection with him. Number four, I must recognize Jesus for who he is and what he did, and I must come to God through him. He is my only hope. He is the Holy One and the just. He is my Savior, my Lord. He is the one that died, and behold, he is alive forevermore. He's that daysman that Job longed for. Job said, "Oh, that there were a daysman betwixt us that could put his hand upon me and God." Jesus is that daysman that can puts his hand, and he completes that connection between us and the Father. And the fifth one is that one of God's laws to stay connected with him is that my whole life must revolve around him. I cannot compartmentalize my life where this is my work over here, my recreation here, and here's church. That's my connection with God, and the other two God is not in. I cannot do that. God has to be central in my life, and he has to be central in my work and in my recreation, and in my connection to church. God must be central. That is one of God's laws for staying connected with him. And so we see God has laws for connecting with him. And there's many in that judgment day that will say they felt like they were connected with God, and Jesus will say to them, "I never knew you." Matthew 7 talks about that. I'd just like to read a few verses there. Verse 21. Let's back up a little further. Let's read from 13. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These people thought they had a connection with God, but their fruits weren't there. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me. May that not be anyone here this morning. May we truly have that connection with him. And so we are surrounded by connections to people, but our connection with God is of utmost importance, because all the other connections will reflect what our connection with him is. And as we connect with others, may we, by his grace, connect with them in a way that will build them up and not tear them down. May God bless you this morning. Do you have prayer usually after? Let's kneel for prayer.